Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, thank you for putting up with all of this. As I was saying to Amy while we were sitting out there, she wanted words of wisdom. This is when you use this type of teaching. This is when you realize that you live in a mental world. Check and see what went on inside of you, what went on inside of your mind. Did you get angry? Did you say, oh, it's our place? Oh, how dare they do this? Yada, yada. Whatever your mind is saying, it's all immaterial. The thing is, we're here. We made it. We found a room. Yes, we may be late, but it really doesn't matter. The only thing that ever matters is what you're thinking about the situation. We could have gotten mad. We could have stormed up to the desk. We could have yelled and screamed, but it's our place. How dare you do this to us? Whatever, you see. But you just let all that go because there's a reason for everything. So, the main thing about this teaching is that you have to learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel and realize that it truly is a mental world we live in. So whatever's going on the outside of life doesn't influence you one iota. It's how you perceive what's going on the outside of life that matters. So when you know who you are, when you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, then none of these things happen, you see. They don't matter to you. You don't fall for all that. Because if we started to fall for that, we would say, oh, how dare they treat us that way? Don't they know that we matter? It doesn't matter if they know that we matter. It matters if we know that we matter. So in anything, know that you matter. And don't worry about other people if they think that you matter or don't matter. This young lady lost her job. She got laid off. Now, she can look at that in any way she wants to. But if she knows she's worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that she matters, then it doesn't bother, you see. And she knows perfectly well she can go right out and get another job. Why? Not only because there's jobs out there, but because we're always moving for our good to our greater good. And as she looked into this situation of hers a little deeper, she said, oh, but I didn't like this job anyway, and then I felt that I was going to be laid off, and it wasn't working for me. I got a job offer once before, and I didn't leave because I was holding on to what I have. This is what so many of us do. We hold on to what we have. And when you hold on to what you have, you don't get what you want. You don't get what you want. Remember, that's how they catch monkeys. They make a little hole in a thing and they put the food in there and the monkey reaches in for the food and grabs the whole pile of rice. Now his hand is too big to come out because he's holding on to what he has. When you let go of what you have, you become free to move into a whole new experience in your life. A whole new experience. You're going to have a wonderful experience. And know that you're moving from your good to your greater good. That you're moving from glory to greater glory. And that your new job will pay you even more than this job. Because you have learned to appreciate yourself. You have learned that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. These are the four items that you must get into your conscious, your subconscious mind, and into every fiber of your being, so that when anything happens on the outside of life, you have that as your firm foundation, that you can stand on that as your rock. Okay? So with that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. So it's always what's going on inside of you, not what's going on around you. Give that idea up and learn to watch the movements of your mind and see what your mind's doing to you. Because your mind is always going to try to do you in. Remember, you are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. But your mind loves to convince you that it is you. And we fall for it all the time. I fall for it. So I know if I fall for it, everybody else falls for it. Then you have to notice that And then you correct that type of thinking. Because the mind will take you somewhere you do not want to go. It'll take you where you do not want to go. Why it does that, I have no idea. But what I do know is it can be changed. And you can change your thinking, you can change your mind. And with that, you change your whole life. But it always has to start with you. And it has to be inside of you, those feelings. And we have learned through our life, through the stories that we tell, how people did not appreciate us, did not think this, did not do that. They're merely stories that you're telling yourself. Give up those stories and start to tell other stories. See, it doesn't matter what really happened to you. What matters is, what do you think about what happened to you? You see, many people go through a lot of disasters and so forth, and they can pick themselves up and start right over again and never be affected by that because they know who they are. Other people fall for that and think, the world has done me in. The world has done me in. Now, we use that the world has done you in. The world is very convincing. And there's certainly a game going on out there in the world that we must all learn how to play. Some of us play it better than others. But we're not so much concerned about the world doing us in. What we have to realize is that this universe and this thing that we call God never does us in. Never does us in. It's always for us and always is there to help us. That's what we have to remember. So when the world gets convincing, when the world tells you there is no jobs, when the world tells you that money is scarce, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Go right back to money's always freely circulating in my life. I always have a divine surplus. And this thing that I call God is looking for a job for me right now. This thing called God is looking for the money that I need. And that's how you approach life. Use this teaching. This teaching is a practical teaching. I do not call it a Christian teaching. Some people will, New Thought, will call New Thought a Christian teaching, meaning that this person named Jesus was one of the central figures. That is neither here nor there, whether he was a central figure or he wasn't a central figure in it. Unity, which I do, and I know Rhoda reads it every day, happens to be called practical Christianity, but it is a metaphysical teaching. They just use Jesus a lot. I do not use Jesus a lot. Not that I have one thing against Jesus. I think that everything that Jesus said was right on the mark, but anything that was said about him was not on the mark. So, but I do never look at Jesus as my Savior. I never look at Jesus as my Savior. I look at myself as my Savior. If I am going to save myself from the world, if I am going to save myself from the mental anguish that most people go through, meaning the stress, the struggle, the strain, if I'm going to save myself from that inner dialogue that's going on in most people's minds, that you're no good, that you haven't accomplished anything, that this is wrong with you and that is wrong with you, God cannot save you from those things. But you can save yourself from those things. But first you have to recognize what's going on in your mind, and then you must correct what's going on. And we fail to do that, and I fail to do that sometimes. But I'm getting much better at catching myself in all the little traps that this mind of mine can set up for me. I will give you an example. The other day I was at Trader Joe's. I was looking for blister peanuts, unsalted. Well, they had no unsalted peanuts of any type there, so I went to the counter, and I thought, well, I'll be very nice about this, and I'll go to the counter. Well, let me back up a minute. First of all, I said, this store never has unsalted peanuts. They're always out of them. Now I'm starting to see my mind is taking this personally. Absolutely. And it's taking it personally. So I get over that. So I get to the counter, I think, now I'm going to be very nice. I talk to the manager, and of course, then I have to put in there, well, you know, you never have them. And he says, well, they're coming in tomorrow. I said, well, a lot of good tomorrow does. I'm here today. Now, as soon as those remarks and stuff came out of my mouth, I knew it was my mind, and it's the ego mind. It comes up so quickly, and you think that's you. You think that's you. And it's not you at all. I took a course years ago with my friend Betty that I often talk about. It's put out by the Episcopal Church and was called Life Training. And it was one of those bizarre seminars where you go start Friday night and you end Sunday, you know, after hours and hours and hours. But the one thing that the man said, he said, you have to remember that most of the time what our mind is doing is calling somebody a butthead. And that's exactly what I was calling the manager in Trader Joe's. You see, all I had to do was say, do you have any unsalted Bister peanuts? And I've noticed that you are out of them a lot. I did not have to go into anything else and make him wrong, me right, or make a butthead out of him. But yet our mind wants to do that all the time. Our mind loves to call somebody else an idiot, doesn't it? Look at that idiot. Look at the way those idiots drive. That's idiotic the way they do those things. The thing to remember is your mind cannot distinguish you from anybody else. Remember, we live, move, and have our being in the one mind, the mind of God. There's only one mind. So when I call somebody a butthead, when I call somebody an idiot, I am calling myself that. The mind does not know that that remark was meant for somebody else. It hears the remark and says, oh, okay, that's what you are. You are a butthead. So this is a thing that we have to remember. So when you're looking for this so-called salvation that everyone wants to find, apparently, you know, there's no such thing as salvation through affiliation. You can belong to any church, and you can be affiliated with these churches that have 6,000 people, and you think that that has power and it's going to save you. It will not save you. First of all, you're not lost. So forget that idea that you have to be